Welcome to iForum Rx, where we explore the evidence that informs ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iForum Rx, and today we're going to be talking about one of the most popular topics on iForum Rx, and that's anticoagulation therapy management. Now, while experts agree that patients with an unprovoked DVT or PE should be treated with anticoagulation therapy for at least 3 months, and then considered for indefinite therapy thereafter with periodic reassessments performed every few months, there's really uncertainty about how long to continue therapy. The problem is, how do you know that the benefits outweigh the risks, or conversely, the risks outweigh the benefits of continued therapy? What we need is a risk assessment tool that can help guide this decision. And the HERDU2 tool was created expressly for this purpose, and a recent study published in the British Medical Journal attempted to validate the tool. So does the HERDU tool really work in practice? Well, here to tell us about the HERDU rule validation study is Dr. Carol Chan, a ambulatory care clinical pharmacy specialist at Franciscan Health in Northwest Indiana. Dr. Chan and her co-author, Dr. Nancy Shapiro, wrote a commentary for iForum Rx entitled, Validating HERDU2, When is it safe to stop anticoagulation therapy following unprovoked VTE? Well, Carol, thanks for joining us today for the iForum Rx podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
So, Carol, if you had to briefly summarize in just a few sentences the study entitled Validating HERDU2 Rule to Guide Treatment Duration for Women with Unprovoked Venous Thrombosis, Multinational Prospective Cohort Management Study, which was published online in the British Medical Journal in March 2017, to someone who has not read that paper, what would you say?
Well, this study validated the clinical decision tool HERDU2, which evaluates whether it is safe for women with low risk of recurrent VTE to discontinue anticoagulation after receiving treatment of a first unprovoked VTE. There were over 3,000 patients from multiple countries with first unprovoked VTE who had completed 5 to 12 months of short-term anticoagulant treatment. Two arms were in the study, an intervention arm, which included women with zero or one of the HERDU2 criteria that were able to discontinue anticoagulants, and an observation arm, which was including the high-risk women that had two or more criteria, and all men, where treatment was left to the discretion of clinicians. After 1 year, it was found that the low-risk women who discontinued therapy demonstrated a 3% rate of recurrent VTE per patient year. And the authors concluded that it was safe for these women with first unprovoked VTE that had only one or two of the HERDU2 criteria to safely discontinue anticoagulation after short-term treatment.
So, Carol, validation studies are a little different than the typical drug studies that we review here on iForum Rx. They don't typically compare one intervention to another. Can you tell us a little bit more about the methods employed in this study and whether the investigators adhered to what might be considered best practices for conducting a validation study? And what are the limitations and potential sources of bias, in your opinion, in this study?
So I believe for the most part that the methods in this study adhered to best practices. This was a prospective multinational cohort study, so there was less bias and more applicability, especially when you're involving multiple nations, and it had a very large sample size. Also, the follow-up for the study was 1 year, which made sense because recurrent VTE is most likely to occur in the first year after an unprovoked VTE. As for using a cohort study, I believe that that was appropriate as well. In this context, using a randomized controlled trial would probably be harder to carry out, larger and more costly. And also randomizing patients to indefinite anticoagulation therapy in order to show that the therapy is not beneficial or harmful would be harder to justify. So I think that cohort studies are a great alternative to test the hypothesis that predefined subgroup of patients truly have a low enough risk of recurrent VTE that stopping anticoagulation therapy is appropriate. The study used the International Society of Thrombosis and Hemostasis, ISTH, for guidance at what threshold a percentage that is safe to stop anticoagulation if the risk of a recurrent VTE is less than 5% at 1 year after discontinuing treatment. So the researchers calculated the sample size based on this 5%, and the study met power too. So these recommendations were in line with how the ISTH suggested that the calculation was to be performed. As for some of the limitations of the study, I would say that one of the biggest ones is that decision rule or tool is not for men. So during the derivation studies back in 2008, the researchers were unable to find characteristics in men that lend themselves to be considered low risk for recurrent VTE. Also, patients that were high-risk thrombophilia were excluded, and a majority of the participants were Caucasian, so it requires further validation in the non-white participants. This tool was applied in the study after 5 to 12 months of anticoagulation, but we don't know whether or not the tool would be valid to be applied earlier, such as after 3 months. And they also used the Vitus D-dimer at half of the usual cutoff point for D-dimers that is used in diagnostic management, so it's actually unclear if other D-dimer assays can be used.
So, Carol, the authors of this study contend that patients who have a HER2 score of either a 0 or 1 can safely stop anticoagulation therapy after receiving at least 5 months of treatment. However, the overall incidence of recurrent VTE in patients who discontinued anticoagulation therapy in this study was approximately 3% per year. Given that a recurrent VTE is potentially fatal, is a 3% recurrence rate low enough? In other words, is it really safe to stop anticoagulation therapy after only 5 months in women with an unprovoked VTE? And then secondarily, based on the subgroup analysis in this study, are there particular patient populations who you think really should continue anticoagulation therapy despite having a low HER2 score?
So in this study, 3% of the women with the unprovoked VTE and 0 or 1 of the HER2 criteria developed recurrent VTE by 1 year. And in fact, the upper bound of the 95% confidence interval was 4.8%. It ranged from 1.8 to 4.8%, and that still remains below 5%. So the authors concluded that this rate was low enough to justify stopping anticoagulation after the standard course. When deciding whether 3% is low enough, I think we have to keep in mind the risks that occur with continuing anticoagulant therapy. So generally, for those that are already on oral anticoagulation, the risk of having a major bleed is actually between 1% to 2%. Additionally, we still need further analysis on some of the subgroups in REVERSE 2. So the HER2 rule worked well for premenopausal women that were less than 50 years old and stopped anticoagulants. These patients had recurrent VTE of less than 5% at 1 year. But in the subgroup analysis, it was found that for postmenopausal women greater than 50 years old that had only one or two of the HER2 criteria and discontinued anticoagulants, this group actually had a higher risk of recurrent VTE, approximately 5.7%. So that was above the 5% threshold. We still need further validation in this population. Until then, it would be very reasonable to continue the anticoagulation for postmenopausal women, regardless if they have a low HER2 score.
So, Carol, I now want you to imagine you're seeing a 57-year-old Asian woman in the anticoagulation clinic for routine follow-up. The patient had an unprovoked DVT in her right leg about a year ago. A hypercoagulable workup found that the patient had factor V Leiden, and initially she was treated with an enoxaparin and warfarin, but had difficulty keeping follow-up appointments due to her work schedule, so she was switched to apixaban. The patient states that she's very good about taking apixaban twice a day, morning and evening, and her refill records suggest that she's been adherent to therapy. The patient takes no other medications except for acetaminophen occasionally for tension headaches. Patient's leg symptoms, which included pain and swelling, have essentially resolved. The patients had no symptoms or signs of recurrent DVT or PE and no bleeding or bruising while taking anticoagulants. On physical examination, you note that the patient has some brownish discoloration around her ankles and her lower shin, but no redness and no pitting edema. The patient's blood pressure today is 116 over 72. She weighs 156 pounds and her BMI is 27.2. The patient would like to stop apixaban, if possible, but she's also concerned about having a recurrent VTE, which she says, quote, I know it might kill me, which is pretty scary. She wants your advice. Would you order a D-dimer in order to determine her HER2 score? And if the D-dimer score was 161, what would this patient's HER2 score be? And based on that score, would you recommend that she stop apixaban?
If I were to apply the HER2 tool in this patient, I would first look at if she had any of the HER criteria. So HER would be hyperpigmentation, edema, or redness. And it looks like based on the case, she was having some hyperpigmentation due to the brownish discoloration around her ankles and lower shin. Negative for edema or redness. So far she has a score of 1. As for the D dimer level of greater than 250, in her case, it was 161. So not an extra point there. The first O is obesity. So having a body mass index of greater or equal to 30, and her BMI was 27. So again, we don't add another point there. And lastly, older age is the second O in the score. And that's classified as being at least 65 or older. And in her case, she was 57. So overall, her score would be +1 due to the hyperpigmentation that she had in her ankle and lower shin. But I don't believe that this patient might be the best candidate to use the tool in for a couple of reasons. Number one, her race was Asian. And in the study, most of the patients were Caucasian. Number two, the patient has the factor 5 Leiden. And in the study, validation study, they actually excluded patients that had two or more thrombophilic defects. And she has identified one of the two. I also want to point out that this patient is older than 50, and that was the subgroup of patients that were actually at an increased risk of recurrent VTE. Patient also mentioned that she was pretty scared of developing future blood clots, and I do think that she's at a higher risk because of the factor 5, but also because of her age as well. So I would probably feel most comfortable using the HER2 tool for patients that match the characteristics of those that were included in the REVERSE-2 trial. I think this validation study confirmed that over half of the women with unprovoked VTE can stop anticoagulation and be spared from the risks and burdens of being on therapy for life.
Well, Carol, I really do want to thank you for joining us today to talk about the HER2 clinical rule or the clinical tool, the scoring system, to determine when it's safe to discontinue anticoagulation therapy in patients who've had an unprovoked DVT or PE. Well, I think it's clear from your comments that you believe that the HER2 tool can be useful for evaluating women who are less than 50 years of age who may wish to consider discontinuing anticoagulation therapy. Well, tell us what you think. Should we routinely use the HER2 to help patients and clinicians guide treatment decisions? And if so, should a D-dimer then become a routinely ordered test before anticoagulation therapy is stopped? Well, only iFormRx members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It is free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.